So it just so happens that that is the scripture for today from the lectionary. And I didn't pick it, but I'm going to use it. And I'm going to use it because in my next 3 weeks, I'm calling this Mission March. And it just so happened that we've had a few people in the last few weeks talk to us about different types of mission. And the things that the church had done over time and the mission things that they had done here. So I'm just going to share with that. And I'm going to kind of start with the idea of a missionary that traditionally people thought of as a missionary. And I'm going to introduce my friend Charlie Harvey. And if we could get a Charlie Harvey. This is Charlie and Fran Harvey. Now Charlie is currently 88 years old. He lives in Fredericton, New Brunswick. And he and Fran and their daughter Pauline now lives there. He has three other children. One's in Northern Ontario, one lives in London, and one lives in St. John, New Brunswick. And when I was... We'll let somebody worry about it. So when I was a young man... fairly young, in university, I met one of his daughters, Betty, who was a nursing student in Fredericton, New Brunswick, at University of New Brunswick. And so we just got chatting, and she got talking about this dad that she had, this Charlie, and that he was in Zaire at that time, which is now Congo, Republic of Congo. And we'll have a slide of that later. But, and she just started talking about what her life was like and all those kinds of things. And I thought that was really kind of interesting. I've always had an interest in missions because my mom was a missionary. Now, I never thought of my mom as a missionary, but that's what she was. And she was United Church of Canada, and she went to Northern Saskatchewan back in the 50s. And she started setting up Sunday schools. And that's how they did it. They would go there and they would go to places that there might be young people. And she would say, would you be interested in sending your son and daughter to a Sunday school that we set up? And if people did, they would go. And if not, you know. And they still use that in many ways in different places today to introduce young people to Jesus. So she did that. And then she went and got married and had me and my other brother and sister. And but her whole life, she was a very faithful person. But I never really thought of my mom as a missionary, but she was. She always thought she would love to go to Africa. That's the place she really wanted to go to, and she wound up in Northern Saskatchewan. It's a little different place. So anyway, Charlie and Fran, they were in Africa. And so I always thought that was really, really neat because I've always been interested in that from my mom. So Charlie came home on furlough. Do people know what furlough is? Yeah, okay. So you have, it's like sabbatical. You come home every few years and do those kind of things. And people in the past few weeks have talked about that. So I met him. And he's one of these people... for me in my life that it has impacted me in a way that I go, I'd like to be like him. You know, there are times that you have those moments with your parents or other significant people in your life and you go, when I grow up, I'd like to be like that person. And Charlie is one of these people that as I spent time with him, I went, I want to be like him. And Charlie would say, well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to let people see Jesus through us so that we would go, if I met Jesus, I would like him because he's like Charlie. And it's the same kind of thing that we go through each day in our lives that hopefully we're going to be showing people Jesus so that when they see him, they go, oh, I saw Jesus in so-and-so or I saw Jesus in so-and-so. Now, for years, I kept thinking, I would love Charlie Harvey to come here and preach. Now, he's 88 years old. He's still pretty quick. He's still got a good wit. And you sit down, and it's just like sitting at the feet of the master and go, oh, I just want to listen to you talk. Now, there are a few other things in Charlie that I like, in that he has an old house that he fixed up, and I was living in Fredericton, and I had a whole old house I was fixing up, and he had an old car that he was fixing up, and I had old cars that I was fixing up, and he was a Mr. Fix-It, Mr. Tinkerer. And I have a little, because Daryl usually has humor in his sermons, so I'm going to try to put a little bit of humor in this one. So Charlie now is a little hard of hearing in this ear. And he's still married to Fran, and they're a wonderful couple. And when they're in a car driving, Fran would like to talk to him, but he can't hear out of this ear. That's the one that you'd be driving with, and Fran's on that side. So Fran tries to talk to him, and of course he can't hear. Well, she got frustrated with that, and she said, Charlie, you've got to do something about this. So Charlie, being a tinkerer, he found an old vacuum, and he took the hose off the vacuum, and he found a funnel, and he put the funnel on one end of the hose, and he ran it up, and he tied the hose up to the top of the car, and he ran it around over top and down the door, and then he put a funnel on the other end, and he had that attached so it's sticking out. So when Fran wanted to talk to him, she would talk in the funnel on this end, and it would go up through and around and down and come out the other side. And that will tie in quite nicely when we're talking about our sermon today, because I called Charlie Harvey and I said, Charlie, I have one of your books called Home and Away. Can we have the slide up for Home and Away? Is that going to be the next one? It is. Oh, I'm lucky. Thank you. So this is Home and Away. And there's a story in here that Charlie wrote. And we're going to have Charlie read it for us today through the wonders of communications. Last summer, Janet and I went to Fredericton, and we visited Charlie, and he and Fran, and he started talking about this book, and I said, oh, I'd love to get one of those, and he just happened to have a copy that he gave to me, or for a low, low price of $20. He wanted to give it to me, and I said, no, you paid for this, I'm going to pay you too. So, they are available on Amazon if afterwards you are still looking, and the low, low price of $20. So I called Charlie this year after reading some of those stories, and I went, Charlie, I want you to preach the sermon at First Baptist Church Simcoe on March the 8th. I can't do that, John. I'm in Fredericton, and it's winter, and I'm not going to be traveling. I said, Charlie, remember that story that you have, and it's called... What's it called? Two tin cans, two buttons, and a string. And hopefully I've got the next slide ready. No. Do I have it? No, I'm in the wrong space. There, it is the right space. Okay. You're doing really well, Carolyn. You're going places that I didn't. Don't know we're going to go. All right. So two tin cans, two buttons, and a string. So one of the stories that he has in here is about him as a young man. And all through this, he's got all these different stories that he's written for Canadian Baptist Magazine in the 1990s, and he took and compiled them all together in an anthology. And so I've been going through those. So two tin cans, two buttons, and a string. And you're going to help with this today, because you'll see in just a minute. So can we have our story? This is Charlie from Fredericton.
Yes.
Okay. This is Charlie Harvey speaking from my home in Fredericton. And I want to read you an article that I wrote many years ago. It's entitled, Two Tin Cans, Two Buttons, and a String. The little boys were excited. Their telephone actually worked. It had taken a while to gather up the basic supplies. Two tin cans, two buttons, and a strong piece of button thread. Holes were punched in the center of the bottom of each tin. holes which had to be rounded with a nail so that the sharp edges would not cut the thread. Each end of the long thread was tied through the holes in the buttons and attached inside a can. With great excitement, the boys separated, pulling the thread tight. One talked into the can while the other one put his can to his ear and listened. The excitement on their faces told it all. They could even hear each other whisper.
It's your turn. So, there's many different ways of communicating. And this is one of the ones that we had when, as a young person, a long, long time. Do we have a volunteer on this side for the tin can? All right. And I'll give you one button. You want the large button or the small button? Doesn't matter. We'll see which one we get out of here. So I taped it shut so we can't lose it. Now I have to get it open again. You're going to get the large button. And you're going to get that end of the string. Maybe get somebody beside you to hold on to that so we don't lose it as we go across the sanctuary. All right. Okay. Who we got over here? Come on. There we go. Come on up here. Give you the tin can and the button, and hopefully you can find somebody that you can sit there if you want. We just have to be careful with our string that we don't choke anybody. Okay. I'll give you those. You know how to open them up? Oh, he's figured it out. Just cut the string there. Good. Okay. So you get somebody to hold that piece of string for you. And I'll take those back. I don't want you getting hurt or anything like that. Yeah. We got, so you put the string through the hole. Weren't you listening? You put the string through the hole in the can.
Yep.
And then tie it. Pull it through. Put it through the one hole of the button, back through the other hole of the button, and tie it. He's got it. Okay. You got it through the can. Yeah, put it through one hole of the button, back through another hole, and then tie it. Did anybody ever make these as a kid? Oh, look at all the people that, okay. Didn't use a button? Didn't use a button? You just did a knot in the end and just held it? Oh, okay. Oh. Okay, so just drop it back in the can. Okay, so stand up. And we've got to see if we can pull the string tight. Okay, go ahead, Rick. Oh, got to hold the string tight, though, otherwise it doesn't work. Are we done? Is it working? So. Okay, all right. So... Now, when they're up there, I keep thinking of an old scout skit that we had with how many suckers did you catch on the line? Because they can't hear, so they would have people, and they'd have this thing all set up, and then they say, I can't hear, come hold up the string. And the guy says, oh, I can't hear, come hold up the string. And at the end, the guy says, can you hear me now? Oh, yeah, I hear you really well. He says, what were you doing today? I went fishing. Oh, yeah, what did you do? I caught a whole bunch of suckers on a string. Oh, that's a Daryl joke, and is that a Daryl joke? Yeah, okay. Okay.
When they were older, these boys rushed from their computer to their telephones. It worked. The first little messages sent after much reading and puzzling over the instruction actually appeared on their respective computers. This excitement reminded them of the tin cans and thread of childhood in in the second childhood, they embarked on a new communications adventure with threads and cans that cost over $1,000 each. Messages were sent and received from far away as Norway and Nairobi and Stockholm in the same day. Canadian Baptist missionaries have employed various types of communication technology over the years. In times gone by, missionary marriages were cut off from each other in different parts of Africa for years at a time. During the early 1960s, there were no direct communication links into phones. The conducting and no connecting radio transformers, transmitters, not even a reliable postal system. Then the whole, when we wrote home in those days, we sometimes waited a total of 3 months for an immediate reply. Sometimes we hired messengers to carry letters from the mission station to another. Drummed messages traveled faster than our Land Rover in our Boca rainforest days. Messages were relayed from one drummer to another across the region, village to village. We could only recognize standard drum messages. Special messages required both skilled drummers and skilled listeners.
So, as I told the children earlier, that they actually had a language that they understood, and they could let it, the information get to the next village before the Land Rover got there. Now, that Land Rover traveling on those roads is a lot different than us traveling on 400 highways. All right, and some of the pictures that I've seen of the rigs that he had a Toyota Land Cruiser, and they would be bushwhacking through all kinds of strange places to get to where they needed to. He had a tent that was built on a platform that sat on top of the Land Cruiser, and that's where they'd camp, that's where they'd sleep. And so they had a little ladder that they would put up, and they'd crawl up the ladder, and they'd sleep, and that would keep them away from snakes and bugs and scorpions and all those kinds of things. And they took their tent along with them wherever they went. And that was the kind of thing. One of the, I talked about fixing things. One of the issues that other missionaries had with Charlie is that Charlie grew up on a farm, and that's why I'm wearing this farmer outfit today. He grew up on a farm, and they made do with whatever they could. And so, baling wire or whatever it happens to be, and missionaries always hated to use the vehicles that Charlie had before because he couldn't really afford the parts. So Charlie would figure out a way to make things work. So if the starter didn't work, there was a certain thing broken on their starter. One of the examples that he had is he had a stick, and there was a stick that would stick out of the engine of the compartment, and when you need to start the car, somebody would sit in the driver's seat and turn the key, and the other person would go out, and they would take the stick, and they would shove it into a certain place, and that would engage the starter motor, and they could drive. But if you drove a vehicle after Charlie, you had no idea how to start the vehicle, because it was a Charlie vehicle. But anyway, so I thought the drumming thing was really kind of neat, and so we'll just kind of go from there. Go ahead.
Now we can make contact with friends and overseas without even talking to an operator. Many of our missionaries have electronic mail or email. Prayer requests are often urgent and specific. And thanks to email, they can arrive in an instant. This is the new era. However, high expectations are all around.
Can you stop there for a minute?
It's getting tougher.
Can you bring back those two slides of Angola and Zaire? So I'll just give you an idea. That's where they were. They started out in Angola and in the 1960s, and there was it had been a Portuguese colony up until the early 60s. And when they became independent from Portugal, there was a lot of unrest. Military things happened, and they had to flee Angola, and they went to Zaire. It was called Zaire at that time. And they went with the Angolan refugees, and they still ministered to the Angolan refugees that were in now Zaire. It's now called Republic of Congo, but that's where they were missionaries. And that's just to give you that little background about it. I thought it was really very interesting that the particular story that he was talking about dealt with communications and how it changed from time to time to time, and how like a piece of mail would take 3 months to get from where they were home. And now I can call him in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and ask him to read his story for you this morning. I thought it's just amazing how things have transpired and how we can keep track of what's happening with Daryl within our congregation. We don't have to wait for Sunday mornings to get information that we can keep track through email and all those kinds of things. It's just amazing how those kinds of things work. And I'm really looking forward to the rest of what Charlie has to say to us as to what happens when we don't have cell phones and we don't have drums and we don't have computers and we don't have tin cans with strings.
No matter how we communicate, there's always a person on the other end of the can. Telephone or computer, day to day, life actually brings us into personal contact with numerous and varied persons. Each person is a kind of transmitter with no off switch. Even every waking hour, we are transmitting. Even when our mouths, with our mouths shut, our bodies are communicating our attitudes. The only way you can stop communicating is to shut ourselves away from other people. Even then, when we hide ourselves, we're making a state so weak. So we end up communicating something about ourselves either way. A fake follower of Jesus may well manage to deceive some people some of the time, particularly people who have never known the touch of the Spirit of Jesus in their hearts. We might claim to be his witnesses, when we're not. But the Lord seldom uses such persons. Occasionally, some have taught the truth while living a lie, and the truth has remained for such, in spite of the contradiction in the heart and the life of the person.
So just as a story to go along with that, my mom tells a story that was a significant thing for me. As a young person, I kept thinking, how am I going to reach people for Jesus? How am I going to let them know about the love of God? I didn't go up and talk to people. I didn't understand. How do you do that? I still have a very hard time doing that. And she was saying that one day she was sitting in Harvey's. And she was just sitting in Harvey's. And a lady came up to her who she had known you know, in some kind of way. And she said, Margaret, she said, why are you the way you are? And I thought, oh, Mom, wow, what a great thing to somebody come up and ask you, why are you the way you are? And what a great mission moment. You can tell them all about how Jesus is your light, you know, all these things. My mom didn't have an answer. She just was who she was, and she really couldn't explain to the person how faith was so important in her life every single day that that was who she was. She never saw it as something that she could take off or put on. It wasn't something she just was on Sundays. It was something she was every day. And for somebody to say, well, how are you the way you are? She couldn't explain it. She just was. And I think that that's really hard for us as well, in that we don't understand sometimes why we are the way we are. We know Jesus has an impact in our lives. We know that faith has an impact in our lives, but we can't always see it. And when someone comes up to us and asks us, why are you the way you are? It's really, really hard to explain that to somebody else. Or, how are you different today than what you were a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 50 years ago? Is it all because of your faith, or is it because of all the other things that impact your life too? And that's kind of where I'm going to leave it today. I'll put the last slide there. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus for us. And when people ask you, hopefully we won't be afraid to say, well, I know it's not going to sound very Canadian, but Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is an impact in my life, and he changed me, and he made me the person that I am today. Didn't make me perfect, but he made me better than I was, and I'm thankful for that.